The following podcast contains adult themes and adult language. Listener discretion advised.
And although we joke, if you or someone you know is affected by or a victim of domestic violence, dial 1-800-799-7233 or visit the National Domestic Violence Hotline's website, thehotline.org.
It's always the husband, it's always the husband, it's always the husband, I'm gonna keep it.
Hello, listeners. This is Sarah.
This is Megan.
And you are listening to It's Always the Husband podcast.
Welcome.
Indeed, welcome. We're glad you are here and listening to our foolishness.
Sarah just asked me if I wanted to tell the story this week, and I said, hail to the no. I've been drunk for days.
You've been to booze town and back, and then to booze town and back, and booze town
and now
and
I'm booze town again.
Back.
I'm keeping LaMarca in business. That's all I have to say.
Why don't you get like one of those stock trader apps and buy stock in it?
I should. I don't understand stocks.
But I don't either. I just figured they would do it for you.
Oh, do they have people that work for them?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you just like do it on the app and they do everything. I don't know.
I feel like if we're going to be in lockdown again soon because of all the COVID surge, that might be a good idea to invest in alcohol.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. I would need it because
that's all we
did. I can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't do it again. I don't want to live this in this world in reality. I feel like somewhere the surface or world tore and we went into an alternate reality of fucked. Yeah. When it was already fucked, so we're more fucked. I can't do it anymore. I can't. Oh, and it makes me angry at people and it makes me angry. And it makes me sad and it makes me exhausted. And it makes me frustrated.
It makes us hate our jobs.
Yeah, because we have just a job that is very difficult. I mean, not nurse, doctor, God forbid. My sister's a nurse, and I can't even. I don't know
God
how those people
bless
do it.
Natal.
Yeah. Natal works hard. But the people who do Deodorant Factory, it's pretty shitty.
Yeah, and I must say, the Deodorant Factory has been so pleasant for me this year.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm being for real.
Oh.
I think it was so bad for me last year.
Oh, it was horrible.
That now that I just actually get to go to work and see people, yeah. I still am not sure why there are middle school age children at the Deodorant Factory, but I'll take it. I'll see them too. I've just been so happy.
I mean, compared to last year, yes, it's this is great. I can't go back to last year. I can't do it. I'm going to end up in my sanitarium for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no way around it.
We got to get on that chair, real fast.
I'm just going to be in there and just be like, charge my Deodorant Factory and everybody else here on my ward, because we're all from the same Deodorant Factory.
Yep.
And then all the nurses and doctors will
be
in the other
ward. Too.
They'll be in the the fancier, more expensive ward because they make more money.
Yeah.
Well, so, as they should.
As
they should. All right.
What year is this?
1986. A wonderful year. We had
this
course
was
had
the
done
best year, right?
We did 1986, this. Yeah. But it was one of my best years ever. I was in sixth grade. I have only pleasant memories of sixth grade. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I was very happy. I loved it. It was I mean, I just feel blessed that I grew up in the 70s and 80s. I feel very lucky.
Yeah, was this the year that my dad blew up the house, or was it 84?
Well, Cassie whatever will tell you.
Year
whatever
it
year
was,
you say, Cassie will say you're
Cassie
lying
is
about your
screaming
family.
At me right now. You know what? Fuck Cassie. She's in Utah right now without us.
Yeah. She sure is, that dumb bitch.
Nutty.
Yeah.
Just left. Left us in the dust.
She does, and she would in 2 seconds. She don't care. She would be like if there was zombie apocalypse and we were stuck in a car and mm-hmm. she could get free. She would mm-hmm. just run.
She would
And
run.
We would be left behind.
No, and she would say, you dumbasses.
Yeah.
It's your own fault for getting eaten by the zombies. Right.
And then she would say, see how they're gagging on you, fatties? You're too salty. You're
it's
too
your
fat.
Wrinkles. Yeah. The last time I FaceTimed her, she was like, oh, Megan, you really need to get Botox. And Tiffany was like, Cassie!
Yeah. Terrible.
Nut. Sisters. Sisters. I was like, I can't get it because I'm so poor. That's also why I can't go to Utah because I'm so poor.
We're poor. We are poor as shit. Terrible. Yeah. So this is 1986. We watched a Forensic Files again. Can you believe it? Two Forensic Files in a row. This one was called True Lies.
I was
just
busy.
Just like Arnold's movie yeah. with Jamie Lee Curtis. Season 8, episode 27.
Wait, I forgot to tell everyone that I went to the place today.
How weird. And I posted about Santa's dick today, too.
You posted about Santa's dick and I didn't tell you
yeah.
that I was going there. But I went to a drag show this morning.
So for those of you that did not hear last year, the Santa's dick story, this was from 2 years ago, though, right? Was it for Carrie's birthday?
Yes.
It was in October. We went out for a friend's birthday and we made her drive. Because she drove. Yeah.
She did.
Through asses. Although that's something you'd make me do on my birthday is drive. For sure.
We learned our lesson letting you drive after small town murder.
It's never going to happen again.
Holy shit.
No. It better not happen again. Yes. Yeah, so we went to a place in Minneapolis that has a Ferris wheel. And from October to December, it is decorated Christmassy and plays Christmas music, and there's 1,000 Christmas decorations per square inch.
Yes.
All the food is Christmas themed, the drinks are Christmas themed. So by the time we got to this restaurant 2 years ago, and this was October, celebrating mm-hmm. this birthday, we were already hammed because we had mm-hmm. had greeny drinks at the
across
restaurant
the
across the street.
Yeah.
Which is a whole thing in this bar in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
This other bar. So Amanda and I ordered a gin drink,
mm-hmm.
and it came with a little cute Santa straw, the accordion yep. Santa straw, yep. and it was delicious, delicious. And so we told Megan, you know, you need to order this drink. And Megan's like, oh, yeah, what drink was it? And we looked at each other and we're like, it's called Santa's Dick. Just ask for a Santa's Dick. And she's like, okay. I'll take that Santa's dick. And then Amanda and I just laughed and laughed and we're like, oh, you dumb bitch. It's not Santa's dick. Like a restaurant would name a drink Santa's dick, bitch.
I do think that I said it asked for it several yeah. times. And the guy was just like, what the fuck?
We don't have a Santa's dick here.
Santa's dick. But I took pictures of yes. the menu because
so now you have the drink and we know what's in it.
Yes, we know what's in it because that drink
was delicious.
Was delicious.
She had it today as Santa's dick.
And I had it today.
Now we can all make it at home.
I actually didn't call it a Santa's dick. It was called Baby Jesus Was a Baller.
I like Santa's dick better.
And then it has Hendrick's gin, lime, raspberries. And then Prosecco. Of course we loved it because
delicious.
It had Prosecco. But the other drinks that you could get, there's a Rudolph's Red Rocket Cinnamon Apple Shot.
That's very dick-like, I think.
Kringle's Dingle Jingles.
Again, that's very dickish.
Which is a creamy mint shot.
We need to tell them about Santa's dick. Maybe they should have it.
They have Jack's Frosted Nut.
Oh my God, they are very ball-like.
Salted nut roll shot. And then Pricks Get Lit. This is a $14 shooter that comes with a take-home cactus glass.
Oh, well.
I'm not kidding you. I think Santa's dick could be a hit.
I think they could Santa's dick it. We should write them.
The person that I went with got an I Touch My Elf.
Oh, that's see, they're pervy.
They're total pervy.
I didn't
that's
know.
That's why.
Maybe they became pervy after you kept screaming you wanted Santa's dick.
It says, ho, ho, holy shit. Oh. This hot cocoa is boozy. And she said it was. But the other ones are like Mary Rita and Come All Ye.
They were very innocent
faithful.
Names.
Felicia's
I feel.
Fruitcake, You'll Be Sorry, Tinsel in a Tangle. And again, no Santa's dick. But they did have the pricks, and they have like fa la 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 llama. Yeah, so it was.
I feel they were more innocent, but maybe, I don't know. I don't. All I remember is that because we had 14 drinks before we came.
We did.
There. And then it was 1 degree and we went on the Ferris wheel, which was
oh
outside.
My God, the Ferris wheel was not in commission today. So
yeah, it was fun.
So I did not, I ordered the drink known as Santa's dick. Also,
and it was
now
very good.
In reality called Baby Jesus Was a Baller.
I think it needs to change to Santa's dick. We're going to write them a strongly worded letter.
And then I had bottomless mimosas and drag queens. What could be better?
Nothing than that. Jeez.
Nothing except this murder in 1986.
All right. Do we want to start with our glitter? Do you have a glitter in your shitter?
My glitter in the shitter has to be that I had a repeat
Santa's
of Santa's dick.
Yeah. You had a Santa's dick and that was delicious.
That's all I can think of. That's the best thing ever.
Listeners, recreate a Santa's dick with those ingredients again. Hendrick's gin, lime
juice,
Prosecco with raspberries.
Raspberries, yep.
And put it in a lovely glass, yep. And then it had a lovely Santa. It
There's
had
like a little. Well, the raspberries were on like a toothpick that had like a Santa on the top. Yeah.
Right. And show us pictures of your Santa's dicks.
Yes.
We would love to put them all
Let
together.
Let us see Santa's dick.
We'll try to make some too. I don't know. Cassie could probably make a good one.
She could.
Yeah. My shitter in the my glitter in my shitter. All right, you know how I am still I just constantly now am obsessed, like I said, with the Hollises and MLM grifters and stuff like that, because there's kind of a anti-market that's actually pretty fun. Well, when I had mentioned that I found this Reddit thread on the Hollises like 3 weeks ago, a month ago, I don't know. Dave Hollis, who, again, if you don't know, you don't know. If you do, is a super douche, and he has this terrible book that the end of October, so a few weeks ago, he published, and it's terrible. It's a self-help, I guess, and it's called Built Through Courage, and it's all about being courageous to take those leaps in your life. But it's like a person, it's like basic Googling of self-help nonsense. And it's written like someone who maybe did too much acid and then drank too many Santa's dicks and just type nonsense. I mean, it's horrific. Poorly written, like a dummy pooped and sent it in, and it got published only because he was Rachel Hollis's husband, I think. And so he used to work for Disney, and his courage is leaving his multi-million dollar a year job, where he says he never even really even had to work, and then being in charge of Rachel's company, and now he's a lifestyle coach, doesn't even have a job, and he's terrible at that. And so that took courage, I guess, and not like Malala going to school.
No.
Harriet Tubman, no, that's not courageous. Just
quitting your Disney job to work
for another multi-million dollar corporation
for your
courageous wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then just not having a job and living off your millions. That's not courageous to me. Anyway, so people, like, there's a bunch of YouTubers who do call attention to like MLM scams. Now, you're someone who loves an MLM. You love a pyramid scheme.
I do. Yeah.
And you join every pyramid scheme company. And then you have idiot friends like me who buy your pyramid scheme goods. And your lipsticks were good. I still have those. I like those.
I love my lipsticks still.
I still have Pampered Chef stuff from years ago. I mean, really? That was a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
That's a pyramid scheme.
I never sold that. I just...
You just had parties all the time. What else did you sell?
Nail.
You sold the nails. Jamberries. I still have those. Yeah. And I like those.
Yep. I only did those two, lipsticks
but
and
you
like nails.
LuLaRoe. Did you have any parties? On
I
that?
Had parties.
Norwex,
oh my
parties.
God, I have Norwex. Yes,
all
the
those
time.
Are MLM scammer shit.
I'm very aware.
Yeah. Anyway, there's this guy, and I sent this to my friend Drew because I knew he would love him. But he is on YouTube, and
oh my God,
he goes by
this to me, right?
Mac Attack.
Yeah,
and he criticizes these MLMs, but he's done many on Rachel Hollis and Dave Hollis. Well, 2-3 weeks ago, as Dave Hollis realizes his book isn't selling. So Rachel Hollis wrote Girl Wash Your Face.
Horrible.
That sold almost 3 million copies.
How?
That's an enormous hit. All right.
How?
Dave Hollis, and then her subsequent books or whatever, if that's the word, sold like 200,000 copies and then like 60,000 copies. So it's gone way down. Dave's first book, which again was completely disgusting. And in a part of it, he said, never talk to a couple that's having marital problems because do you want to get advice from people who are shit? His book came out literally, then they got a divorce like 2 months later. What a dumb right. asshole. Why do you embarrass yourself like that in front of people? Well, no one's reading your book unless they're dumb as shit. Anyway, his first book sold like 30,000 copies. Well, this book is selling like 3. And so he went on Instagram Live like 2 weeks ago and had an absolute fucking live meltdown, like an embarrassing, absolute meltdown. Now, he's not popular enough to where it actually got into...
Not like his wife. Yeah.
Yeah, like Rachel Hollis blew herself up and it became kind of national news and she destroyed her entire company and now she's kind of like a pariah and she's trying to claw her way back and now she's doing boho, mystical. She was a Christian author, but now she's talking about moon cycles, witches, Wiccan. She's completely changed to that. So she's Wiccan now.
Right.
Yes. So I don't know how that's going to work. Dave Hollis, anyway, had a complete psycho meltdown. Like, he's obviously an extreme narcissist, and it's like a psychologist's dream because his mask of normalcy fell off, and it's like this pure narcissist rage coming out. And it was brilliant to watch, but it's 2 hours. It's on YouTube. You can watch. They call it a shipwreck because it's built through courage. It's all nautical themes because he says, you know, you can't sail the ocean with someone else's map. That's the whole theme of his book. But it's like you literally have to use someone else's map, you fucking dork, because people aren't cartographers. They use maps that already right. are made, you right. dumb asshole. That doesn't even work. Anyway, so Mac Attack, anyway, does a brilliant take on all of this shit. He is hilarious. He has like the best looks. He's really, really smart. Dave Hollis was also in a triathlon that he got disqualified from, but he still finished, and he thought he could get away with telling all of his fans he finished without them knowing he got disqualified.
Why did he get DQ'd?
Because he's never swam in open water, and so part of a triathlon is to swim in open water, and he freaked out and he just quit. But then he went back and ran and did the bike, and he thought he could just finish. And then when people realized he didn't have a time on like the final results, his fans were like saying, "Where's your time?" And then to say, "Oh, well, I got disqualified." He was gonna lie. And Mac does triathlon, so he knows like from that end how fucked that is.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's just he is so funny. I have been watching his videos. He is like, I feel like more. He just has been a joy this week to watch because he's hilarious. So again, you would have to know kind of like these scammers or whatever, these self-help gurus and all this stuff, and he just calls attention to all these things that are, you know, tricking people or lying to people or scamming people, and he's just absolutely hilarious. So that's
your guy.
Him. Yeah,
I'm trying to figure out how many copies the book has actually sold, and I don't.
They someone on the Reddit thing works for publishing, and he's sold 6,000, and it's been 3 weeks. How he had a documentary that was supposed to come out next week, and it got canceled. And so he'll probably have a meltdown about that.
As I was shopping at Target the other day, his voice like came on in the electronics section about like,
yeah,
hey,
he bragged
buy
about
my
his
new
Target
boy,
ad
my
for
new
a
book.
Long time.
Yeah.
But Target doesn't have any copies of his book because I don't even think they ordered copies of it because they knew it was a shit show. Anyway.
I can't find it. That's weird. That
no,
I
you can't find it anywhere
up.
Because it's a huge, he's, I don't know. That's been an obsession of mine. So if you can just fast forward all of that, and I should have said before I said all that, if you're not interested in that, but if you are, you need to watch Mac Attack. I love him so much. I wish he doesn't let people tag him that he doesn't know. So I couldn't like tag him and say, oh, I love you or whatever.
You should get to know him.
I know, I would.
And
he lives in Utah.
He does.
Yes.
Maybe we can,
I know,
next time everybody goes and we actually get to go.
Yes.
We could.
And we have a new Patreon. Kristen Roberts.
Kristen,
welcome. Thank you so much. We appreciate your support.
Yes.
So much. I'm going to send you stickers, but I can't remember who I last sent stickers. So I'll probably be sending people notes saying, did I send you stickers or not?
Did you get a sticker? So, you guys, let us know.
Because I can't remember.
And I don't do any of it. It's all Sarah.
Well,
I'm
not very good at
it. I blame her.
Yeah, it is all my fault.
Because I am the worst podcast partner that ever.
No, you're not at all.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
All right. What quote did you like from our Facebook group that we still haven't have a, we don't have a name for the segment either?
I'm sorry, but the one that you put up, I can't get over it. I cannot get over that Sarah put that review of the leggings. I know that I'm not giving a shout out to any of our fans and I'm actually shouting out to Sarah, but I
that was
literally
so good.
I called,
I saw it and died.
Sarah was not at work that day that she posted it and I called her from my class,
my deodorant
from my lab, and I was just peeing my pants. Like, I've never laughed so hard. The pants, like, they even got caught on rocks and stuff.
Trees. This woman wearing these leggings did not walk down the mountain. She rolled. And the leggings didn't tear. So she said, I bought more in every color. You need them.
And there are pictures.
What a testimonial.
Rolling down the...
There are pictures of her rolling that her friends must have taken. Her just rolling. It's good.
I'm still dying.
That woman is a hero. A true American hero.
She is a hero.
Yeah. An American hero.
That's mine. What's yours?
I picked Kat Kramer's. It just spoke to me. She posted how you're supposed to eat pumpkin pie, and it's literally how I eat pumpkin pie, like with more Cool Whip than pie.
Yes.
So she had a picture of the pumpkin pie in a whole tub of Cool Whip.
Yeah.
And it's almost, I mean, pretty close to how I eat pumpkin pie. And it's my pumpkin pie is my favorite dessert, but then I realized it's just the Cool Whip I'm eating.
Really?
And then a tiny I eat a tub of Cool Whip and then the pumpkin pie is in there somewhere.
It's
at 100% how I eat it.
There's still that pumpkin pie that you brought.
I know, but I forgot
factory.
To cook it. I brought pumpkin pie for my birthday to the factory and I was going to eat it there with my coworkers. And didn't realize you had to cook it.
Ovens in the facility somewhere. You could.
Yeah, there are ovens there. I remember asking to use an oven several years ago and I was poo-pooed. But maybe I can now.
We'll see.
I was highly poo-pooed. And I thought there's 1,400 ovens in here that are not being used. What the fuck?
Yeah.
But
because that's how we test our deodorant.
Yes.
The hotter, the better.
Yes.
Well, blessings to you. I did like that one too. My family doesn't eat Cool Whip.
Why?
Because we're very I don't know, because my mom always makes homemade whipped cream.
Oh, well, you have whipped cream, I mean.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
But
I'll
like,
accept that.
Cool Whip. My mom like literally likes
you,
to whip the cream and put sugar and vanilla. And
that sounds amazing.
Uses the hand beater. She still has the hand
any
beater.
Of that shit.
I know.
No, I don't got time for that.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Are you a huge cunt?
Us too.
Wait, can we even say cunt?
Of course. It's empowering these days. Cunt, 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 cunt. I'm Ange Balasone, a.k.a. the drag queen, Fat Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fales, just a normal gay guy, I guess?
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch,
a gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit bitch and be fierce on a huge-ass couch
while we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy
and cunty
with us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on The Big Oh, wait, I thought we were going to say that together.
No. On the Big Cunty Couch. Mwah.
But once you've had that,
oh, you
it's
can't
hard
go back.
To eat
That's
Cool
delicious.
Whip. I know.
Oh yeah. That I mean, obviously that wins.
I have the best
Cool Whip
mom
is
ever.
Not a real food. I mean, cheese.
It's like easy cheese. It's they're both okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, now I myself have to make my own whipped cream.
No. You just buy Cool Whip and put a spoon in there and put it on the top.
I don't. I always have heavy whipping cream in my refrigerator.
That's weird.
I know.
But good for you.
Good for you.
I don't know
you
how to do any
snob.
Of that. I know.
Cool Whip snob.
But you're a good cook. You're very good. I don't have that skill. I didn't get that. I didn't get skills. I didn't get much.
No.
So I just got to live with what I got,
yeah.
Which is nothing.
You have so much.
Nothing.
You are beautiful and smart.
Nope.
Great boobs that don't sag at all.
Well,
and
I paid for that.
Oh, no. We totally psyched everyone out because we were like, hey, we're going to tell the story. And then we were like, oh, shit, we forgot to actually do the podcast part that we do every week.
What?
We were like going to start the story
away.
And then
yeah.
we were like, just joking. I have to tell you about Santa's dick.
Right.
And then
we forgot our front part that everyone hates. Yeah. That's what fast forward buttons are for.
Yep.
I saw Dune with Jamie in the theater, like whatever, for my birthday.
How was it?
I really liked it, actually. I was surprised because I've tried to read Dune multiple times.
Did you like Timothy Chalamet?
I did, and I didn't think I would like him at all, and I enjoyed him.
What about Zendaya?
I love her.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's in it for literally 7 minutes. And then Jason Momoa, of course, is in it. And Jamie said he looked like Steven Seagal. And he kind of did. He did a tiny bit.
You guys, her face just looked heartbroken.
Because it was kind of correct.
Oh,
but he still was great.
Okay.
I really liked it. Like, the whole story, I was like, oh my God, I really like this story. But
okay.
I tried the book and I couldn't do it at all. It was like Blizz Blaz goes to Hibhab and then Heem Hob talk to Boob Blog. I'm like, who is he and Ham and whom? And where are you and what is going on? And I just couldn't do it. But then when it's a movie, like it was much easier.
I'm glad someone understood it to make a movie out of it.
But I was going to say a point about that and then forgot, of course. Anyway, let's go to 1986. I meant to say a whole thing.
This is the year of Chernobyl.
Yes, and Challenger.
And
pretty
Challenger.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Halley's Comet came by then.
Amazing.
Oprah started.
Awesome.
I mean, I still feel like I should be watching Oprah at 4 after school. Mike Tyson won his first title.
Gross.
All that. Who did he marry? Robin Givens?
Yeah,
that
while.
Was a huge thing.
Beat the shit out of her,
Oh, jeez. Balderdash, the game, and Outburst were new. Those are
love,
still around.
We love
Those
Balderdash.
Are great
yeah.
There was a movie called Troll. You probably didn't watch it.
Mm-mm.
But get this. In Troll, which is, I'm assuming, about a troll, and I'm sure it was scary, there's a character called Harry Potter. This is 1986. And he was learning magic.
No.
Isn't that weird? Do you think she just watched Troll?
Yeah, I do.
Because that's
Jamie.
Jamie sneezing.
Just died upstairs. Okay.
He's allergic to cats and Randy is obsessed with him. So there was a movie called Space Camp that I love.
I love that movie.
And it was supposed to come out literally. Challenger went off in January and I think it was supposed to come out that month. And so they were like, I guess we got to put this off. So Space Camp didn't quite get the promotion it should have, but I love that movie. It's great.
I watched that numerous times.
Three Amigos, again, just I love it. Short Circuit, I watched 400 million
times. I was just going to say,
because
one of the top songs of 1986 was Who's Johnny?
Yes.
She said, yeah. And that was from Short Circuit.
I watched Short Circuit for Youngs is about a robot that comes to life and has adventures with Steve Guttenberg and Ally Sheedy.
Yep. And Elle DeBarge sings the song.
Elle DeBarge could do no wrong either. Elle DeBarge was married to Janet Jackson, right? Or is that a rumor?
Yeah, she was married to some DeBarge. Secretly.
A DeBarge, yeah. Short Circuit was fabulous.
Loved it.
What? I can't even remember the end. Does he live with Ally Sheedy at the end? I don't remember.
We should go back and watch
it. Pretty in Pink, Ferris Bueller. Now, this is an unknown. I didn't know this, but Ferris Bueller's parents in the movie got married to each other in real life after the movie wrapped and ended up having a little boy and a little girl, just like in the movie.
Cute.
Isn't that cute? Top Gun, of course. Everybody had to see Top Gun. That was like, you weren't cool if you hadn't seen Top Gun. And yet, in sixth grade, I'm like, I don't get it. But I liked it. But I was like, what does this mean? I don't care. And The Fly with Jeff Goldblum, which was fucking gross.
I never saw that. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I think it was, I mean, obviously, I wasn't into that. I was into Space Camp and
I did love Space Camp and Short Circuit. I watched it not like every day. And Crocodile Dundee, of course. Oh, again, where we talked about Crocodile Dundee before, because the female heroine wears a thong onesie in the Australian outback and thong high heels. And I feel like that is not an appropriate outfit for the Australian outback. First of all, the sun damage when you're wearing a onesie where your tits are out and your butthole and butt is out and it's a V up their crotch. So unless there is some sort of protective pube situation going to her knees, like everyone over 40 has.
Oh, my God.
She's just getting burned in the butthole, in the crotch, in the tits, in the face, in the body.
She didn't care.
And then the bug bites. And then the
spiders. Ew.
The spiders. And then the scratches from all the bushwhacking and the high grass and all of that. And the itching. What? And
I just watched.
How do you shave? Did she wax?
Well, I don't know. I mean, how they were out there for a while, right?
A long time.
How did she keep up?
And then
that?
All of her outfits were dresses and skirts.
And they were all white.
Yeah. What is going on? What is wrong with you?
I just watched The Crown where stupid Charles and Di were in Australia on their trip.
Oh,
with baby William.
That was a success for them, wasn't it?
Well, it was a success for her.
Yeah.
Not for him.
No.
Because he was jealous.
Yeah. Of course he was, because she was a personality that people loved.
And she was a mother.
Well, and she cared about, I think she did generally care about people.
She liked talking to people.
And wanted to help. I'm in a position where I can help people, like landmines. She walked across that whole landmine thing. She could have blown off her leg.
And he liked talking to Camilla. That's all.
Yep. And he wanted to be her tampon, which is so fucking gross.
Disgusting. But in 1986, also, just to let you know, our poor victim probably was listening to Take My Breath Away.
Of course.
Yeah, from Top Gun, right? And and of course, the Who's Johnny by Elle DeBarge. Yeah. And then, do you remember this song? I hated it so bad. I wanna be your sledgehammer. Yeah, remember that song? It. Oh, he likes Peter. I like Peter Gabriel, because remember that video, that movie where he holds up the...
Say Anything?
Yeah. I love that Peter Gabriel song, but Sledgehammer drove me nuts. I don't know why I hated that song so bad. And there were other...
Yeah, that was a prayer. Oh, Bon Jovi. Yeah, everybody had Bon Jovi. That was at every dance.
Phil told me that my hair looked like... He called me John B. John Bon Jovi yesterday, because when I wake up, my hair looks like a mullet.
Yeah, well, when I wear leggings, Jamie calls me David Lee Roth. So, there you go.
Cool. All right.
I
mean, in 1986, husbands weren't much better than ours either.
No, they just fucking sucked all around.
Yeah.
We're going to travel to beautiful, where was this one? San Antonio, Texas. So we're heading to Texas. In Texas, we have a beautiful young couple. So we have 30-year-old Kathleen, now it's spelled Lipscomb.
Yeah.
But our narrator says Lipscomb, and I think that's how you say it, Lipscomb. Yeah. She's married, had been married for 8 years now at this point in 1986 to Bill Lipscomb.
Mm-hmm.
Bill is a sergeant. He's in the Air Force. So speaking of Top Gun, he is no Iceman, Val Kilmer.
No. What a dream.
Oh,
to be married to a real
Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer.
Oh. But, you know, right away, if you are a pilot, sergeant, anything in the Air Force, the narcissism, the ego, because the you're the top of the top, obviously, you know, you're good at what you do. And you're one of the best at what you do. So you kind of, I mean, I guess. Anyway, so she's a nurse and they have two little kids. They show a wedding photo of these two, and it was actually quite lovely.
Yeah.
I thought they both are very good looking. It looks very normal, very cute. They look, you know, really happy. She had just a very plain, kind of lovely, it was in the 70s, I guess, obviously, dress.
And the daisies, the yellow flowers.
They looked, you know, very happy. Like, you're like, okay, this could be someone normal. They show a photo of Bill by himself, and I'm like, oh my gosh, he actually is handsome.
Yeah.
You know, he's not like made out of
dang, Bill,
silly putty like our last guy or whatever, you know, Play-Doh. He looks like he's a successful, handsome man. Like, wow, okay, unusual. Now, unfortunately, Kathleen and Bill separate. So they are recently separated. They are not quite divorced yet. Bill gets the children on the weekends. And so this weekend, Bill had the kids. And Bill brings the children back home on Sunday night to drop them off at mom's so then he can go, you know, have a whole week to himself and not worry about kids at all. Why she gets to get them ready for school and work all week and then take care of them when she gets home all by herself. Because that's super fun and really you don't want any kind of help at all. Bill goes to Kathleen's apartment and they're knocking on the door. The kids are knocking on the door and no one's answering. They notice her car is missing. So they figure, oh, she maybe is taking a diarrhea in Target because, unlike me, maybe she walks into a Target and has instant diarrhea and has to hide her cart and run to the bathroom and then go back to her cart. And hopefully no one is taking the cart. So maybe she's doing that. They leave her notes on the door like, Mommy, where are you? Mommy, we're supposed to be here. Which should have been concerning because no mom would just not be there for her kids, knowing her kids were supposed to come home. I mean, you just don't unless something is awful and she would have obviously called a neighbor or tried to contact somebody to tell them. So that should have been a huge red flag. The next morning, they try to find mom and there's still no sign of her at all. Now we see Kathleen's mother, Nadine Adams. And I wrote, she looks like an adorable, cute grandma. Yep. She looks like grandma. Mm-hmm. Everybody's grandma. Very cute. So she said one of Kathleen's coworkers actually called her. I mean, I guess maybe she would have her mom's number on her desk or something. Maybe. And she's a nurse, so maybe she had an emergency contact.
Yeah.
I bet she had an emergency contact form. So she got called and they said, you know, Kathleen hasn't come to work. So do you like know where she is or is something going on? And Grandma Nadine just said, like, her stomach got all in knots. Because, you know, like, you know your kid. If you hear that about your daughter, that she didn't show up to work and never called, that has to be you just have to know, like, something absolutely horrible is going on. And then you come sick to your stomach. And then she said, no, Bill has the kids. You know, maybe she just was with her friends and she'll come in late. But, I mean, that's not her. You know, especially when you're a nurse, she's never done that before. Now we're seeing Darlene's sister, or no, Kathleen's sister Darlene, who I wrote Janet Wood, but with red hair.
She had the little kick out in the back
for Janet from Three's Company. Yep. She's Janet from Three's Company, but with a red head instead of Janet's black hair.
Just a tiny little kick out mullet.
Yep. Same here.
Yep.
Now, later that day, a man walking or driving, I don't know, sees a nude body along a deserted road outside of town. So the police come. It ends up being Kathleen. So she is dead and naked in a deserted road off the side of the road. To the police, it's clear she was murdered somewhere else and dragged and placed in this spot.
And as she was placed there, the person took all of her clothes off.
Yes.
And then rolled them and put them next to her.
In case she needed them? What? That doesn't make any sense.
Why did that happen?
So her clothes were rolled up like a sleeping bag and placed next to her. And the investigator said they were not folded. They were rolled.
But why would anyone...
I don't know.
Do that. Now, just leave the clothes on. Dumper. Bye.
Right. Or take them with you because they're evidence, I guess.
Oh,
right?
Oh, my God. It's the weirdest thing ever. Super dumb.
Now, Sergeant Dalton Baker was the one telling us about the clothes being rolled. Who did he look like to you?
Did he have the...
mustache.
Did he have the cowboy hat?
Yes.
Boss Hogg? No.
Kind of. I said Wilford Brimley. I said our old standby Wilford Brimley. Beats in a cowboy hat.
About the beats.
But he kind of, well, yeah, he definitely was more Wilford Brimley, but he had a little Boss Hogg in there. Definitely.
He didn't look like Boss Hogg. I mean, as the fat, but he just with the.
Yeah. He definitely was a Texas sheriff.
Hat.
Like your typical Texas sheriff, but he had a lot of Wilford Brimley in there. Now, what he says is very interesting.
A young Brimley. A younger Wilford Brimley.
He said, Wilford Brimley, sheriff, says it was definitely military-esque because he said the only people I've ever seen that roll their clothes are military. And I don't know. Is that true? Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
Are they supposed to roll them and put them in their trunk or something?
Throw
I don't
mine
know.
On the floor.
Well, yeah, mine are just shit. Mm-hmm. So I throw it on the floor. Other than that, there were no tire impressions, foot impressions. They couldn't tell anything else at the scene. They brought in Bill, who is still her husband, even though they're separated, and he was called in for questioning. They checked his body to see if there was defensive wounds, scrapes, bruises, anything, and they couldn't find any of that. And here they show another picture of Kathleen with her mom. They're smiling and look happy. And the two kids. And it looked like the girl is wearing a rainbow bright shirt.
Oh my God.
And I thought, oh, how cute. Oh,
I had a rainbow bright shirt.
No. Now they find out from the children who told their father. So Bill told the police that, okay, I had the kids the whole weekend. I couldn't have done anything. The kids were with me. And the kids are like, yeah, we were with him. At the autopsy, the medical examiner, though, figures out she had been strangled. Mm-hmm. That's her cause of death, but that she had also had sexual relations 24 hours before her death, which is unfortunate. You had to do it with somebody, and then you get strangled
and
all in one day.
That's how it ends?
Ish. The poor woman.
Ew.
Talk about ick. God,
the day
damn it.
I go, everybody better leave me the F alone.
Oh, hell no.
Everybody.
Now,
all those people I'm having sex with, oh my God.
They need to stop calling on you and giving you their calling card or whatever, leaving it on your porch.
Please stop.
Her friend said, well, she has been dating a married doctor.
God damn it.
Why? Named David Pearl. Now, in my favorite movie, Waiting for Guffman, Dr. Pearl is played by Eugene Levy. So I keep thinking
now
of
you're
Eugene
just thinking
it,
because
Levy,
they don't ever show
they
him.
They call him Dr. Pearl. And so I'm thinking Eugene Levy here.
Yep.
So Kathleen and Dr. Pearl, they work together at the hospital. And so same thing. Doctor falls in love with nurse. He told her he was separated from his wife and getting a divorce. Of course, the real truth was... No.
Not happening.
Absolutely not.
Of course he said, I'll get divorced. I'm going to marry you. My God.
And that didn't happen. So he was still with his wife. And I'm sure she was really happy to find out he'd been having an affair this way. You know, totally with a deceased mistress.
Right.
Oh, my God.
And then they also found out her sister says that they found out not only Kathleen was not the only mistress that he had. Ugh. Like, he was married, had Kathleen, but then was screwing a bunch of other people.
Dr. Pearl, go suck a
God, dick. Dr. Pearl sucks.
Fuck you, Dr. Pearl. Did he create Pearl Vision?
Was he that kind of doctor? I don't know.
No, he's a shitbag. All right, Dr. Pearl says, I didn't do nothing with her murder. You know, and he says, I had nothing to do with it, but he porked her, clearly.
Yeah. And he said he did. He's like, yeah, I porked her, but I didn't have anything to do with it.
I didn't strangle her.
Yeah.
Now, they have another guy that lives in the
this
apartment.
This is so bizarre.
This is fucked. His name is Vincent Robidoux. Robidoux. He is also a nurse. And this bitch, for some reason, left his apartment in a hurry, skipped out on work, didn't even ask for his paycheck, left town, and he didn't even ask for his paycheck to be sent to him.
And he lived in the exact same apartment as Kathleen.
Yeah, apartment building.
Yeah.
So that was very,
oh, yeah, not in the same apartment.
But that was very
building.
Suspicious to the police. Like, she's killed, and this guy skips town, totally abandons his work.
Both nurses, like, what's going on?
Is not asking for his paycheck, which is super weird, and just goes to another town. So they have all these suspects. They have Dr. Pearl. They have Robidoux. They have Bill, the dumbass husband. And the police are like, oh, my God, all these men could have done it. We just need help to steer us in the right direction. 1 week after that, though, Kathleen's car is found in a restaurant parking lot. They go through her car and they find zero proof. Mm-hmm. So they find nothing. Now, they tried to look and narrow down when she was killed. The medical examiner said she ate Chinese food for dinner Sunday night, but it was not digested in her stomach. So that means she died short time. So she had Chinese food and had to pork and then gets killed.
Got killed. Yeah.
I hope it was good Chinese food and not gross.
Me too.
Oh, man.
I do love Chinese food.
I do, too, actually. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. She had marks on her legs that were ant bites. So they can tell, you know, like by an ant bite and how pronounced it is, kind of time, you know, you're outside, all that stuff. Like we talked about the FBI.
Thank God for the forensic entomologists.
Right. But they can tell a whole bunch of stuff from bugs and bug bites and all that stuff. And the maggots crawling through your corpse.
Oh, my God.
Fucking gross. So they decided that she was killed around dinner time Sunday and dumped before dawn,
right?
You know, for Monday morning. So in that right after dinner, she was killed, messed around with, and then dumped before dawn Monday morning. Oh, gross. So in the field, police find four strands of red human hair on the clothing that had been rolled up as well. There's no root on it, so they really can't do anything with it. They just have these four red human hairs, and they don't even know where to go with this. Now, all this time, they're doing reenactments, and they are showing a naked lady in the dirt. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they had Carol goes to work at Forensic Files, and they tell Carol,
"Yeah,
Carol, can you put that... Just put your phone down. Carol, stop talking. Put the phone down, Carol. Hang up the phone, Carol. Come over here now. Carol, come over to my desk, Carol. Put the phone down. Carol, we're going to need to have you come out with us to kind of a deserted field.
But it's not that deserted because it's right along this highway here,
Carol. Oh, yeah.
Carol.
Everyone you know is going to drive by.
So people are going to be driving by. It'll just be easy to... Yeah. Get
and
the film.
We're going to need you to take off that pencil skirt suit you have on. It's lovely, but you're going to need to be naked for this, Carol. All right? No, Carol, I said you got to take it all off. No, you cannot leave your underwear on, Carol. We need all of it off. No, we're not going to actually show you naked on the thing,
Carol,
but we need it to be naked.
Don't fold it. We said roll. Roll it. Carol, roll your pencil skirt and put it next to your naked body.
Carol,
we just need to get these shots, Carol, and then we'll... Oh, hey. Oh, okay. Here comes
the... Carol, is that your church bus?
Oh.
Carol, wave. Their church bus
is waving.
Yeah,
I think your lady's aide is waving.
Yeah.
Oh, Carol. Okay, now, Carol, can you cross your ankles and then we're going to pull them up to your cooch because
And Carol,
she was found and her legs were kind of in an Indian style. What do you call that when you sit? Crisscross applesauce. Yeah, yes. they're in a crisscross applesauce.
Her legs were hardened with rigor mortis, spread open wide, and then crisscrossed at the ankle. So Carol, we're going to need you to do that. And Carol, you are definitely going to get a razor for your Christmas bonus. Carol, I have not seen a thing like the mess like this in a long time.
Yes, Carol, we know that there are fire ants all over. We Carol, need to do this. This is authentic.
You make $4.75 an hour, and that $4.75 has to be hard earned.
Thanks, Carol.
Now, now the hairs go nowhere
because it was Bill, so boring.
Her
too.
Boyfriend, like, Dr. Pearl, and everybody else has like dark hair, so that's really just like fucked. And there's no DNA in 1986, so that whole thing went nowhere. So anyway, the police are still fucked. They are trying to figure out where Vincent Robidoux is, and they finally find him. He went back.
Jesus!
He went back to his hometown of Galveston, Texas. That's right along, it's like an island, right? Or right along the ocean or whatever.
I don't know.
It got like smashed to bits in a hurricane, like in 1900 or whatever, and like everybody on the island died or something. I don't know. So he was a nurse there at a local hospital. And so he had to explain to the police that he had had a fight with his boyfriend and he didn't want anything to do with them. So he just totally left and abandoned San Antonio. And they were like, oh, God. OK, sorry.
You guys. But they outed this man and they put his actual picture in forensic files.
Yes. Yeah.
This.
So hopefully he was okay with it because they're also interviewing him and chasing him down. And everyone in his town is going to think he's a murderer, too.
Oh, my God. I am sorry, Vincent. You didn't deserve that.
Vincent is cleared. Now they are just down to boyfriend and husband. We get another tip, the police do, that Kathleen's neighbor said she saw a very suspicious red-haired woman walking away from her apartment that day. Now, red hair, red-haired woman, police are like, does she have something to do with it? And then they show this woman walking away from the apartment. Again, they had Carol put on forensic files. Carol put on flood pants. Very flood pants. I mean, these were flood pants. And walk away angrily in a terrible red wig. And they filmed her doing this, too.
Yeah.
She couldn't even have her lunch.
And again, what the fuck?
This went nowhere.
It went nowhere again.
And we'll just tell you, this ended up being a coworker checking on her.
Yeah.
So this part
went
nowhere.
Thank you.
They decide, and with this, now 2 years go by, right? Yeah, 2 years go by, and the police are doing jack shit, pretty much. Nothing. They have no, they just have suspect Bill, husband, Dr. Pearl, boyfriend. And they really don't think it's Dr. Pearl because he kind of has a pretty good alibi too.
Well, he is so busy with all the ladies.
Well, yeah, he's porking everybody in town.
He doesn't have time to murder someone.
Bill, though, they learn just 7 months before Carol or Kathleen is murdered, had increased poor Carol had increased Kathleen's life insurance, of course, to $315,000, which in 1986 is a huge amount of money because it's a huge amount of money now. My God. Mm-hmm. Kathleen's family, though, decides the police are doing jack shit. So they hire a private investigator, Tom Bevins, who I wrote also looks like Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
But with a buzz cut.
Yeah. Yep.
And he's chewing gum constantly.
But he looks nicer than Steven
Seagal. Yeah, he definitely
Seagal.
Does. Yeah. He's a step up.
Yeah.
Bevins actually does work. Believe it or not, he's working. So first of all, he looks through her apartment and right away finds her diary and finds all this shit in her diary.
What
in his clothes.
The hell?
Why did the police not do this? Why?
I don't know. Because they couldn't get his cowboy hat was too big.
I don't know.
Understand.
Maybe his beats caused him to not think real well.
He
Sheriff
couldn't
beats.
Walk.
I don't know. Carol in her diary writes that she was at a baseball tournament and she saw Shannon Gilbert. Now, I noticed, did you notice that the diary said it had a Michaels
stamp?
Yeah,
it was from Michaels.
And it said it was like a free copy.
Yeah, it was a free.
It was like a free giveaway. So she's a cheap ass too. It touched my heart.
Just, yes. Oh,
so she's using a one free of your Michaels people. Diary. Yeah, she's one of my people.
I would have been like, I'm sorry, I need to spend at least $30 on, right.
Yeah, on a diary. On this,
no, I won't take that. Let me go find a $30 right, one and I'll pay for it. One. Yeah, and I don't want to use my Michael's coupon no, either. I'm going to pay full price.
Full price.
Okay.
So we have another name, Shannon Gilbert. Who is Shannon Gilbert? What does she have to do? Does she know anything? The police never found her. They never interviewed her. They never talked to her. So Steven Seagal buzz cut. Bevins goes and talks to Shannon Gilbert. Mm-hmm. They find out that Shannon Gilbert, she's pretty cute, but she works at the Air Force, whatever it is, place. What do they call it?
Place of base, the Air Force.
Base with Bill. And there were rumors that those two were porking as well.
Mm-hmm.
So she was the girlfriend of Bill. That's a huge major lead. Mm-hmm. That Bill had this girlfriend. She could know Bill's movements. She could know things he could have told her. Police never once had talked to her. Now he goes, Bevin's private investigator goes to talk to her. The first thing she says, is this about Bill? And he says, yeah. And then she says, I need an attorney. And so right away she says that. Well, he's yep. probably was like, well, I'm a private investigator, bitch. You know,
I know.
I can ask you questions anyway, I think. So whatever.
Even though I actually did the brunt of all this work, I can't actually do anything.
So obviously she knew something. Bevins keeps looking through the diary. Again, a goldmine of information that the police clearly... You would think you would have a dead person's diary as part of your... I mean, what am I looking for?
The evidence?
Yes.
Yeah.
God damn it. Now, she wrote something like, numerous calls and night out, passing information about WAPS testing. Mm-hmm. Bill has all questions for the test. So WAPS testing is weighted airman promotion test, and all military personnel need to pass this test to get promoted. Bill ended up being the fastest promoted master sergeant in Air Force history, and that's because the fucker had been cheating. This dumb bitch.
He had been promoted faster than any other master sergeant in history of the Air Force.
Right.
The whole entire history of the Air Force.
Yeah. Because he'd been cheating.
Oh my God.
So he had been committing fraud. So again, a lot of narcissists, when their fraud is called to attention or going to be told on, they go fucking psycho, which is a huge, huge motive. We see Dr. Charles McDowell, who works for the OSI, which is like, and I mean, is that like NCIS or whatever?
They're... Yes, of the Air Force.
Yes. Yeah, so
this guy was fucking smart.
Yes.
Holy
I wrote that
shit.
He also reminded me of Tim Conway as Mr. Huygens.
Yes, he
So when
does.
He was Mr. Huygens and had, what was Carol's name?
I don't know.
Oh, no, she was Mrs. Huygens and he was Mr. Tudball. The boss was Mr. Tudball. So he looked like Mr. Tudball because Carol
he
Burnett
does
was
look like Tim Conway.
Mr. Huygens. Mrs. Huygens, and she wore the tight skirt and had to have her butt sticking out. That was so good.
Dr. McDowell was kind of cute.
He was cute and he was smart. So Mr. Tudball, Dr. McDowell, actually knew what he was doing. Now, he decided to look at the case because now it is an Air Force type case because two members of the Air Force happened to be involved. So his OSI, which is whatever it was, I forget what it stands for.
It's like
for.
Office of Special
Investigation maybe.
Forces or something.
And he's going to investigate this murder. So he looks at the crime scene photos. He is seeing that the positioning of the body, how it was found, he feels it's very staged. The person who put her body there wanted the impression that it was a rape murder. And he noticed that her legs, again, how they were bent. He thought she must have been, during rigor mortis, crammed into a really tight space, like a chest or something,
because
where her legs
her
were
legs
cramped
were like,
up. And they were
like
hardened.
A frog,
like that. Yeah, like a frog
shape. Like she, but they were crossed at the ankles, and then it was like she was all...
Right. So she was killed, shoved into like a box, he thought, where rigor mortis set in, taken from the box and dumped because her legs were in that weird position. Mm-hmm. And he thought, okay, this is weird. Maybe, you know, the person is trying to deflect again from what really happened.
Right.
So they're hiding something. They're staging the scene. And he's starting to think more and more, pointing at Bill, along with the rolled clothing, who would need to go through all this trouble, really, to hide the perpetrator, who it was, you know. Mm-hmm. He's pointing to Bill. Meanwhile, we get Grandma, who says she was talking to Kathleen's daughter, who was 9 years old now at this time. And the nine-year-old says to Grandma, Grandma, who do you think killed my mother? I was like, oh, Jesus. I would be like, can we change the subject? Sad. God damn it. She says, I don't know. Who do you think killed your mom? I don't know. And she says, my daddy. And she's like, holy shit. And then the daughter says, because he wasn't where he said he was that night. Why did the police never talk to the kids?
I don't know.
Why didn't they say, were you with your dad the whole time? Was your dad with you the whole time? No, he wasn't.
Because this is years later, and now they're finding out about this whole other scenario. What
the
hell?
The kid said, we weren't with our dad the whole time. We went out to dinner with his idiot friend, Tony.
Some rando.
And so they could have said that the day of her body being, they could have went to the kids and said, were you with your dad yesterday? They would have said, no, we were with his friend Tony out to dinner half the day.
How weird is that too? Can you imagine? Like,
well, yeah, like, why am I with this
saying,
huge
I'm
going to
call my friend Chris and he's going to take you out to dinner.
Yeah.
Okay. My kids would have been like, hell no, I don't even know this person.
No. Good God. Weird. And so they show in a reenactment, Bill just dropping his kids off with some random pedophile guy and then taking off. Why didn't they even ask about this?
I don't know.
And so then, of course, Kathleen's sister is to the police like, what the hell are you doing? You have all this evidence now against this points to fucking Bill. And they said, we still don't have enough. And she's mm-hmm. like, good God, like, what are you doing? Thank God for the private investigator, Tom Bevins, who's finding out all this information. Right. Bevins then, he goes a step further and tries to request forensic testing of, you know, all this stuff on Kathleen to try to find out, okay, is there anything else we can find out from these samples? Anything like that. Well, they realize all of her samples, like blood samples, stuff found on her, have all been pretty much lost, mishandled, mislabeled, and fucked up. So mm-hmm. we can do no forensic testing on any of samples taken from her body during the autopsy. Great. What are these people doing?
It's
what major buttholes.
Total.
Oh my God. Asses, but thank God for Wilford Brimley beats Tom Bevins.
Yeah. Well, Tom Bevins and then Tim Conway were really
right.
The
Tim
heroes.
They for
yeah.
sure would. They are finding out now as divorce proceedings are going on, Bill had wanted custody of the kids. Does that mean like full custody where Kathleen won? Husbands, dads don't want full custody of the kids. He's just saying that to be a dick. Like, there's no way a dad would want the kids full time. There is no way. They don't know who the doctor is. They don't know who their dentist is. They don't know what they like to eat. They don't know what size shoes, clothes Mm-mm. kids wear, what kind of underwear. They don't know what, like, toothpaste they use. They don't know anything about their schedule.
No.
They wouldn't know how to sign them up for school, sign them up for sports. They don't know who their teachers are. They don't know any of that shit. They don't know when school starts. They don't know when school ends.
No.
They don't know how to go to Target. They can't do a Target cart and walk down the... Why? That was just for him to be a dick, to hurt Kathleen,
mm-hmm.
because they don't want that. So stop it. But then Kathleen started getting all this information about him cheating on this test, which would have ruined his entire life.
Yep.
And she just kept saying, pushing him and saying, if you're going to do this, I'm going to tell on you for this.
Yep.
And her sister said, Bill then told her, you cannot say anything about it. Pretty much, I'm going to kill you if you do. He threatened her life. You're going to end up on a cold slab. Well, and she did.
So she definitely let him know that she knew. And
that
she was
and
yeah.
had evidence for
right.
it.
And she was just like, we're not going to do this. This divorce is going to be done, right? I'm going to take the kids,
right.
whatever. And then he was like,
yeah. No. Yeah, he thought differently. They decide to look at this butthole friend, Tony, that took the kids, wondering if he's some sort of weird pedophile. Well, Tony had been dishonorably discharged. I don't know what they didn't say what for. So that's not good. I mean, what the hell?
That isn't good.
And then he would go to church and he said he could hear voices telling him to confess his sins. So is he like
he's the telltale heart.
Yeah.
He
you could hear it going thump, thump, yeah. thump, thump.
Yeah.
So he had a bit of a conscience, I guess, or he was a schizo.
Or he was, had some mental illness issues.
Tony then quickly tells the police, once they finally realize who he is after 2 years, because Wilford Brimley had to find him. He says, oh, yeah, I dumped her body in the field. And he tells Dr. Tim Conway this. And he said, I took her clothes off. I posed her body this way. She was in a cedar chest. And Tim Conway said, I knew it. She was in a chest because of her legs. And Tony was supposed to get rid of this cedar chest. Bill told him, get rid of the chest that her dead body was in, but he did not. The police then took the chest.
He was probably like, fuck you, Bill, do it yourself.
And he needed it for his blankets.
Why am I... where am I going to put my quilts?
Yeah, that's where you put your quilts at the end of your bed.
Yeah.
When they tested the cedar chest, they found blood in it. Of course, it was Kathleen's blood. So his story checks out. And Bill, Tony wears a hidden microphone and he goes to talk to Bill. So the police set him up. They, you know, put microphone on him. Tony tries to get Bill to talk about the crime, but Bill says nothing. So they try another strategy and they realize that Bill is full of like all this marriage. He just starts talking about his marriage and how it went bad. And he just starts getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And then the police can kind of see where, like, this rage, angry man and his rage towards Kathleen. And they could really kind of picture him committing this murder. Now, they decide they're going to mess with him. Mrs. Wiggins, Mr. Tudball decides they're going to mess with him a bit. So now they tell him, we're investigating you. We know you did this. We pretty much know you have the motive. We can see that you have the anger in you. We're talking to Tony. We found your former girlfriend, Shannon. We're talking to her. They're telling us all this stuff. We're going to follow you around. They just lay it on thick that you are our number one suspect and we are investigating you hardcore. And so they started just being everywhere he was for 2 weeks, letting him know all this stuff and just playing all these mind games with him.
They would
him all
park outside of his house and just like pretend they were doing a stakeout and stuff.
Right.
They were badass.
And just
finally
all these psychological tactics, he said, to try to break him down and make him nervous and make him second guess. And they call him in again after 2 weeks of doing this hardcore. And Mr. Tudball says, of all the ways that this had to end, I don't understand why it had to end the way it did. Why indeed you kill her? And he said, I don't know why I killed her. And then he realized he just said that. And so Mr. Tudball knew they had
bam, him. In your face.
Yep. And he went, oh, whoop, nope, I didn't kill my wife. But he had already said it. So they realized we got him. He confessed at that moment, and so they just kept kind of pressing that moment, knowing that with him saying that, all our other evidence, it's enough to go to trial. So prosecutors put him on trial, and they believe like what he did was he planned to kill her because she was gonna say he cheated on all those tests. They're showing now what I'm guessing is his mugshot. And he has this slack jaw, and it looks like he has a missing tooth.
I know. It's his tooth was gone or something.
Yeah. I wonder if he got punched in jail or something. I don't know.
I hope so.
They figure what this asshole did is he planned for her to die on a weekend where he had his kids. So that Sunday, he drops his kids off at this Tony idiot's house, tells him, take him to dinner. Then he calls Kathleen saying something about the kids to get her to come over there or pick them up early or whatever. Right. And of course, when it's your kids, you go. You don't think that something's going to happen, you know?
No, you have to. You're like, oh, good, I get them back early.
Right. she goes there. She notices probably that the kids aren't there, and they start fighting. And what he does is, they say at some point, he just grabs her and strangles her to death, yeah. kills her, and then shoves her in that chest.
Right.
So when it's nighttime, then he has...
And the kids are asleep.
Right. He has freaking Tony get her body and dump the body. He involves his friend. Why do you involve another person? Because now you automatically control the situation.
Yeah, but he had already done it before. Like, Tony had to have known about it because he knew he had to take the kids right, out so that I he suppose. Could kill the mom. Like, they were both in on it.
What would he have on Tony, too? Like, what would make him do
know.
It? Was he simple or something? I don't know. Maybe. He told Tony to put her in the field and make it look like a sex crime.
Gross.
And then, of course, Tony must have been simple because he folds up her clothes because it's probably just his habit. And he doesn't think, you know. And they think he planted red hairs to just throw the police off, which really can. Sometimes they would be really stuck on the red hairs.
Well, they spent time on it. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, God. Now, investigators later identified that a co-worker was the woman with the red hair, and she really didn't have anything to do with it. So they feel like the red hair really had nothing to do. Thankfully, Bill, guilty. He's in jail forever for the rest of whatever. I think he got life. Now, Tony avoided prosecution. He did not have any charges brought against him if he would testify, I guess. But this is a man, he
I
should have
can't
got something
believe
for
that.
Like
yeah.
rude corpse tampering or something. I mean, he took a
he
body.
He knew that the guy was murdering her, clearly.
And he knew it was going to happen and did
nothing.
And he took the body.
Fucking douche.
Asshole. And nothing against Shannon Gilbert. But
and
I mean,
she's in the witness protection program now.
Yeah.
Even though they showed pictures of her on forensic files.
Yeah. So anybody, unless
weird,
you put on a terrible wig, you dumb asshole. And Dr. David Pearl had nothing to do with it. So he can go about just porking anyone forever anyway.
Keep porking, Dr. Pearl.
Oh, so he got, you know, nothing really happened to him. And I'm sure his wife didn't even divorce him.
No.
Idiot.
Ugh.
When they pretty much end with just saying, you know, criminals always think they're smarter than the detectives, but that's not always the case. And sometimes it is, and you need to hire in a private investigator to do all your work for you.
Right.
You dumb assholes.
Thank you, private investigator. Investigator.
Well, he guesses.
He does.
And investigates.
And he also found actual evidence.
Yes.
So.
And did Mr. Tudball.
Yes. Thank you.
So, yeah,
she was trying to just pay for the divorce, but he wouldn't have it.
No. And he was trying to take the kids away when she knew darn well, like, you're not going to do jack shit.
Well, he couldn't lose his military status either. That was his fucking life.
Well, right.
That's how he got a boner from, like, I'm super the fastest
Top Gun
colonel ever or whatever he was. I don't know. I don't understand military ranking, but.
I don't either. We know nothing about it.
No.
And never will. I mean, never will. Will we ever? I used to feel like I knew it because I like to play Risk a lot. Then you would know who's higher ranking because you get them. I liked Risk.
Oh, I think I've never played it.
Oh, I thought it was fun. You just like hop them together. And it's like War, but with little figures. The card game War.
Hmm.
I forgot I liked that game.
Well, maybe we'll play it next time we drink.
Just so fun.
Okay.
All right. Well, if you would like to give us a rating or review, we love to hear from you. Join us.
We got
us
some
on
great
Facebook.
Ones last
we
week. That's so fun. And nice.
Instagram, Twitter, we're there. We love hearing from you. If you
share
can,
us, tell
us
a
know.
Friend.
And show us your Santa's dicks.
Yes.
Love
let
see
me
them.
See your Santa's dicks.
Yes. Send us a dick pic. Of Santa's dick.
Bye. Right. Yeah.